Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours, if you decide to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for Black people in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. Tonight's show, Separation Preparation, How You Can Become Prepared. Tonight's show, the Physical Relocation Task Force will discuss how you can begin preparing to move or to build our own communities. Tonight's host is the Physical Relocation Task Force, is none other than yours truly, Sister Majida Muhammad, and myself, Brother Carlton Muhammad. I am going to open the mic for Sister Majida. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. How are you?
I am, you know how I'm doing. I was just talking to you a few minutes ago, in the hallway.
Right. We're doing our formal thing for our public at this time.
Okay.
I know how you are. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. So tonight, we're talking about why is preparing for physical separation so important? Why do you think it's so important, Majida?
Well, you know, those are good questions, and I know we have some good talking points to go with that. I would just say, as we're opening up and introducing the audience to what we're going to be covering here, I would just say the minister just recently, he said separation or death. So, me personally, it's of the utmost importance. But, you know, we all have our own minds, our own thinking, and our own way of viewing information and warnings that we receive. So, yes, it's of the utmost importance. And if we look at everything that's going on today, I mean, and I'm not laughing because, you know, the situation that we're in currently is funny by any stretch of the imagination, because, you know, we can sadly recite the names of our brothers and sisters that are senselessly executed every day by this so-called corrupt policing system. You know, at the end of the day, the question remains, what are we going to do? So it's of the utmost importance.
Yes, ma'am. As you were saying that, I was looking over the previous Final Call News Edition, and it's in bold print in the article by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's entitled A Case of Separation. It says, quoting the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad said, Muslims, I want you separated. We are in America. How do you separate? You come out from under the influence of a way of civilization that is totally to Allah, God, and to the nature in which He created you. And so, speaking for myself, Majida, I know that I haven't totally come out from the influence of this alien way of life, but I think it's a process. And as we process through coming out of that way of influence, we act and do better as free thinking people. And I'm thinking one of the things we do, we know we have to separate, we start to make moves, not only from mentally being separate. When you become mentally separated, you start to physically separate, and an adult provides for himself, builds for himself. And we as a people, we need to do that. And so that's why, you know, why is preparing for separation important? And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what are we doing now to qualify ourselves for physical separation into our own communities? And I did put together a bullet list, and the first one I had on that bullet list is because physical separation is inevitable. So why not prepare now?
Right. And I think that's the crux of it, because with anything of importance, we can put it off and procrastinate like I myself and many of us do, or we can be prepared so that when opportunities avail themselves, we can have a measure of success because we are prepared. And I know, like you said, and we talked about it earlier, what does it look like when we're starting the process of preparation? I mean, mentally and spiritually and emotionally, what does that do to one when they know that they're preparing for something that's inevitable? And then on the other side of that, you know, what's it going to look like for us Muslims standing in soup lines or, as you said, Red Cross? You know, that's going to be so contrary in our thinking and in our minds to what we know we've been taught. So, you know, we have to exercise that God mind and just start preparing for what we know is inevitable, putting plans in motion so that we can be successful. We have to keep in mind, Allah means for us to be successful. So, you know, how do we work toward that end? With everything that's going on, Allah means for us to be successful. So how do we help in that process?
Yes, ma'am. You know, as we, when we discussed moving to Brownwood to start participating in the Muhammad Farms community, you know, we really didn't know how separation was going. We really don't know how separation is going to take place for everybody, every individual, but we knew how we wanted it to take place for us. You know, we knew that if it's going to be any place to separate, it's going to be at Muhammad Farms. So we made the decision to say, okay, we can't go wrong by participating and helping to build a community at Muhammad Farms. So that's how we ended up where we are right now. So for all of our listeners right now, we don't know how separation is going to take for you. However, we're trying to appeal to those of us who may think of ourselves as pioneers and to come and join us to help build the community of Mahomet Farms.
Yes, sir. And, you know, we had we can't overemphasize this, and the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has us studying this, the will of God and our desire and the importance of all of that, because desire feeds the will. We had a desire to do a thing and be a place. So what we did is we exercised our will to fulfill that desire. And mm-hmm. and that's what we're taught, you know? So it's about all that we are being given and have been given and then putting it into practice. You know, we stepped out on faith. Like you said, we didn't know every aspect, and no one knows exactly detail for detail, step by step, you know, how their separation, their individual separation is going to take place. And that's one of the things I like about the beauty of Allah allowing us to put together the humble workbook, in that what we were able to do, we wrote it down in steps to help those who want to make that same move not have to reinvent the wheel. We had help along the way. So what we want to do is, as they say, we want to pay that forward, and we want to give help along the way, so we don't have to look at separation as some daunting task that I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do it, so therefore I do nothing. You know, every time one person does a thing that you desire to do, and by Allah's grace is successful, that takes away the impossibility. So then if that's your desire as well, well, how did you all do that? You know, what did you all go through? You know, how was this? Did you have to do that? What did you put in place first? So these are some of the things in our workbook that we want to help those who have the desire to step out and do a physical relocation and help build community, not just on or near Mahomet Farms. That's our focus. We have a farm there. You know, we have to secure that. You know, we say business is warfare. And then we have to make sure food, having being able to eat, that's business. That's big business. Distribution of food, that's big business. So, you know, we have to protect that. Enough of us have to be in that vicinity, in that area, to support that and protect that. So, you know, wherever your desire to physically relocate and be among your own people is, there are steps to that. And as we say in the Time to Leave movement, there are two roads towards separation. Either you are controlling the community that you currently live in, or you're willing to move to a community that you can't control. And we can't emphasize this enough. And as a mother, and although my children are adult children, you know, what are we going to give to our children as far as our Black culture? Are we teaching them and allowing them to accept this current culture that we're being oppressed by as Black culture? Is this what we're telling them? This is all we're capable of or able to produce, is communities and environments where we're like living on modern day plantations and being murdered and executed and so-called disappeared, you know, disappearing. Is this what we're looking to give over to our children as Black culture? So, you know, there's so many aspects to whether or not an individual decides to separate for themselves and their family. There's so many aspects to it. But at bottom line and at the end of the day, it's like, what are we doing?
Yes, ma'am.
What are we doing?
Excellent points. It's an excellent point, Sister Majida. And one of the things in our book, we talk about the different phases or the different waves of separation. If you look at the founding of a country, or using the U.S. as an example, you have people that came from other countries. They call them immigrants. And they came over here and they landed in maybe New York at the Ellis Island. And then they may have become pioneers. And what that pioneer did was they got some rations, they got a wagon and some horses, and they grouped together with other people with the same desires, and they left the New York area and went west. Go west, young man, go west, because that was some country that was supposedly free, untamed, and we know that's not the truth, but the picture they paint to us was free, and it just was there for the taking. Whether, but not without going into the details of their thievery and murder, basically what they did was, as pioneers, they paved the way. They went to an area that was new to them, and they paved the way for the rest of their people. And we're looking at something similar. We're not going to use the same tactics they used. However, we are appealing to people who might want to consider themselves having a pioneer spirit. Instead of just waiting to see how things might turn out, you can actually be a pioneer. You can, you know, pave the way. The pioneer's job is to pave the way for others. So that's kind of how we look at ourselves. And, we like to appeal to other people to, if look at that and see if that's something that they would like to do, as opposed to phases. One phase is the pioneer phase, where you're one of the first ones. And there's nothing there but wilderness and a few other people. And you start building. Next phase is you start to develop some success. And people start to develop success. And a few more people come. Then the work becomes a little easier for you. The last phase is everybody sees it and everybody's, you know, impressed, and everybody starts to come. And that way, those who are pioneers, they're the ones that have the streets named after them, and who's got days named after them, because they took a route and did something no one else had the courage or the vision to do. So we asked the question, why is preparing for physical inspiration so important? And we talked about that. And the next question, if you feel it's the right time to move on, Sister Majita, is what are we doing now to qualify ourselves for physical separation into our own communities?
That's a good question. That's a good question. What are we doing now to qualify ourselves for physical separation into our own communities? Because it's definitely a process, and we can't talk about it too much. We can't over talk about it or overemphasize the fact that first we have to have a desire to have a community of our own and be part of the building of a community of our own. And once we have that desire to do that, you know, we have to start, you know, because we don't believe in no mystery God. We know that we're going to get from point A to point B with the help of Allah based on our actions. So then we have to. No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying,
Right. I thought you had some burning thing you wanted to jump in there with, you know, by all means. But yes, you know, we have to start putting a plan in place. And it's not that somebody else is going to qualify you or us for separation, because we've already been qualified once we've been given the teachings that we have and the instructions to separate by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Separation is the best and only solution, so that qualifies us. And then recently, you know, the Honorable Minister gives us a warning, you know, separation or death. That's almost like, okay, you're not moving toward that, so now I have to take to another level to let you know that, okay, so the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says separation is the best and only solution. Okay, so that's information that we can move out on. But if we're not moving out on it fast enough, and, you know, this said, you know, we're still living in this environment where we're being treated like we are, like slaves in this modern day plantation. So it's like, look, separation or death. So what are we doing now to qualify ourselves for separation? I mean, that's a question we all can ask ourselves. That's a question we all can ask ourselves.
I agree. And that word qualify, it might be a little intimidating. And so, you know, I think we can discuss, and I think it's, I'm pretty sure, no, I know there's a section in our book. So So how do we determine, how do we determine whether or not we are qualified to be at the forefront of this movement? You talked about how we're all qualified Muslims, followers who've taken the pledge, who've taken the commitment to be part of the Nation of Islam and follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But how do we determine whether or not we're qualified to be at the forefront of the separation movement?
Well, if I may read that little portion, and we do ask a few questions for some introspection of our own, like a personal assessment. And I'll start that. The title, it's actually on page 14 if you have the workbook. And the title says, Community Building Equals Work. Are you up to it? And it starts with some words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's November 16th press conference. And it says, in quote, in 12 years, black people had built over 60 towns because we were the artisans. We were the craftsmen. We were the builders. We were the architects. We were the brick masons. We were the carpenters. We were the plumbers. We were all of that. We were all of that.
That's right.
So then it says here, community building equals work. So each of us should take an assessment of ourselves. It starts first with self, as we all know. And we have to take an assessment of ourselves spiritually, physically, mentally, morally, and of course, like I said, we don't believe in a mystery God, financially, in preparation for making such an important decision. And so a few questions that we offer in the book, it says, why do I want to be part of building a community? Another question, what gifts, skills, talents will I bring to enrich the community? Another question, am I a self-starter? Another question, am I capable of physical work? And to what degree? So we have to, and those are the questions that we have under that section. So one, do I really even have a desire to be part of a community? And the whole word building implies action. So there is going to be some work. So we have to know, one, what will I bring? Because when we talk about building a community, you know, what am I going to bring? My gifts, skills, and talents will I bring to enrich the community? What am I going to bring? Am I just going to come? Am I waiting for somebody to build a community and I just come in and I sit down and I'm comfortable? Or do I recognize enough about myself that I know that I have some skills that will be valuable in a community? And if I don't, again, recognizing enough about myself, if I don't at this time, what could I be doing to acquire those?
That's
because
a good question.
We all have something to bring to the table to add to the whole, or at least that should be our thinking in a community. Everybody brings something to the table, and it's not about, well, you brought 12 and you brought 7 and you brought 6. It's our gifts, skills, and talents that Allah has blessed us to have and know, it's all valuable in building our community. And then,
yes, ma'am.
Am I a self-starter? Are you somebody that's going to take the initiative? Because you, again, and I use the words and we use the words, enrich the community. We don't want to come and be a burden because we're just waiting for somebody to do for us what we should and can do for ourselves. That's the same thinking when we come to a community. We're not waiting for everyone else to do for us. You know, and you're saying, again, those that are in the forefront, we have to be capable, those that come in the beginning, because as you say, we're going to have to continue to pave the way for those that will come, you know, and not that they would come and won't have any work to do, because, you know, maybe not as much or maybe a different level. But, you know, once the community has to be maintained. So once you build it, it will have to be maintained and continue to grow. So there'll always be work. But again, you're talking about those that want to be in the forefront. You have to a degree, be a self-starter.
You know, when I
look at you and I, and the way Allah blessed us to come into this, you know, there were times when you were not here. So I didn't have the mindset, nor did I have the opportunity to sit around and say, well, I can't do anything because my husband's not here for 3 weeks. So I'm just going to sit on my thumbs and and just wait until he comes back. No, we have to know to a degree who we are as an individual before we make a move like that.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I know I
thank
said
you
a
for
lot.
Going. You went in deep. And so, you know, I'm going to do a shameless plug. She went in deep, but there's more to it. And if you think these are questions and discussions that you find introspective as you listen, I'm talking to our listeners now, yourself, it's to your advantage to get the book. It's a small book. It's not really expensive. And you can get it at our website, timetoleave.us. And also, if you like what we're discussing, please press 1 on your dial, on your phone, and you can get. We're going to open up for questions very shortly. We have several people in the queue already. We're going to open up. Please be patient. We're going to open up real soon. We have one more topic that we're going to discuss very briefly, and then we're going to open the lines and take your questions and your comments. So, Sister Majida, this is something we've probably spend the rest of the show talking about. But we're going to try to start the conversation, let the callers ask and comment. And what are you doing right now? And this question is directed to the listeners, those of us who are considering being at the forefront of separation. What are you doing right now towards separation or community building in your own current community? What are you doing now? So, basically, Sister Majida, do you want to comment on that question? And you know, why did we put that in there?
And, you know, I'll be brief. And you know, that's your question, and that's a good question. Because, you know, as we talked earlier, you know, sometime back, you know, on the case of community building and separation, and we talk about that often in our household, is that, you know, community building doesn't just, it's not something that you just say, oh, yeah, I want to be part of a community. Let me see how I can do that. You know, with us, and I'll speak from a personal platform, with us, we were already working in our community.
Right.
Many that know us know that we had a community buying club that was ran successfully by the grace of Allah for 4 years. We were involved in community activities. We were involved in connecting black farmers to the community of people, not just to support our buying club, but just trying to stay connected with those that were championing
mm-hmm.
for black farmers being connected to the communities and the communities supporting black farmers. So, and I say that to say, you have to have some concept or idea or desire to be community where you are right now.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, you're in a community of people and you all buy bathroom tissue collectively and divide it together. You know, you have, and I say that not to be funny, but just to take the smallest thing to show you that you have to be working in community now where you are. And then that just transfers when you physically separate. That whole mindset, that whole desire, that whole way of living just transfers when you physically separate mm-hmm. into another community of your own. Because it's difficult when you're not. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I didn't want to forget my point. You asked me a question, and it stuck with me. You know, this is recently. You said, if you're not practicing community building where you are right now, what makes you think that you'll be doing it when you do move to a community?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I just wanted to interject that. I apologize for interrupting your flow of thought.
No, 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 no. No. Yes. I mean, that's just me thinking out loud. I just didn't see the connection, but that doesn't, you know, mean that somebody just can't all of a sudden just want to be part of a community when they move and start, you know, working, you know, and performing in that way, because, you know, you're sharing thoughts, ideas, you know, space, time to a degree. So, you know,
yes, ma'am.
That's a question
and
I had.
Practice, you know, and the thing is, if you start practicing community building now, you're actually
Right. Practice
makes perfect, and you're doing it now. I mean, if you the buying club, I believe, you know, Dr. Risley, it's not our idea. Dr. Risley had it in his book, Commonomics. And to
Right. Me,
it's the most practical way to start a community, to start economics, and start to begin to control your community. You know, it's difficult for us to get together and, you know, put money together and go buy a property, but it's easy for us to go to get together and buy food together.
Mm.
And so that is on a grassroots level. You know, it's not just Muslims. You're doing it with people in your area. You're teaching how to eat to live. Then you can influence people in other aspects of life that we practice. And before you know it, and also you're providing a service to your community.
Right.
So community building is not, you know, a selfish thing where I'm going to go to Muhammad Farms to build a community just for me and Muslims. No, that's the narrow view. You know, our community that we're trying to build is a model community. We have to have a model. Then take the model and present it to others, be them Muslims or not, and say, this is working. Let us help you with that. And you can start doing that right where you are right now. You know, I'm saving money on food because we have a buying club. I'm servicing my community. I have people in my community that are overweight, that have diabetes, that have high blood pressure because they buy food that's not good for them because it's so cheap. When we're pooling our resources and buying food together, we can make it cheaper and then share with them how to control.
Right,
to make,
exactly.
You know, the way
exactly.
You really, one of the ways you start to take over your community where you are and practice your separation and practice your community building is you provide services where you are
right now.
You go to
right.
people, you go out, you leave your home, you leave your mosque, and you give them something that they need, which is a sacrifice for you in terms of your time. But we have so much that we can offer. And that's how, to me, is one of the best ways to start practicing taking over your community. So do you have any more points or questions, Sister Majida, before I open up the line?
I would rather that you go ahead and let the callers come on in and share with us what's on their minds and hearts.
Praise be to Allah. Once again, we're going to open up the lines. And if you hear anything that you want to come and ask about, just press that one. And looks like we'll have time to give it to you. I'm looking at three of our Time to Leave Task Force head committee heads. And I'm going to open all the lines at the same time. Sister Katina, Sister Ann, and Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
So don't talk at once.
So who was first? Was Sister Katina on first?
Sister Katina was on first.
All right, Sister Katina, you on first.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. I really was just enjoying what Sister Majida and Brother Carlton were dialoguing about. Didn't really have a question at this point, but I think the discussion is very informative. I'm really getting a lot.
Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay, well, I ain't gonna wait on nobody. Two things. One, I think your last. Well, let me go to my first point before I go to this last. One thing that people need to know. Can you hear me?
Yes. We can now. We had a little trouble before.
Is that better?
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. Is that the people need to know that when you all were making the decision to move here, you all were really honing up your skill levels for being able to survive financially. In other words, Sister Majida went to baking classes, even though she was already making bean pies and bread in Oakland, her game, so that when she came here, she could successfully, which she has done, develop a bakery. Okay, so she's able to, in fact, help support the family through the bakery. And you, Brother Carlson, you were skilled at how to do repairs, home repairs. Mm-hmm. And so you brought that skill here, and then you develop a market for your skills here. So now you don't have to go back and forth to California, where you had the business in California of repairs. But now you were able to relocate. So you brought with you, both of you all, skills by which you could make it in a different environment, a different community. So that's why we push. You ask the question, what are you doing now to prepare yourself? So you have to be thinking, how are you going to sustain yourself in a new community? You need to develop the skills that you can use in that community and go check that community out to see if your skill sets can set in financially to support yourself. Okay, that's one thing I think that's very important. And the other thing, I was really, when you all decided to move here, because you were so active in Oakland, in your buying club, and in the Staple Goods Project, I was really concerned that we was draining an area. But you all reproduced yourself, and the sister who you left in charge is in continuing the process. So that makes me feel good that we didn't snatch away some people who were actually doing something in their community and bring them here, because you all decided to come here. I didn't bring y'all here. And the other point along with that is you all were already doing something to develop your community, and then you came here to help us to develop here, but you were already doing something. I suspect, I'm going to listen very carefully, I suspect that a lot of people who claim that they're not moving to another community because they're going to make their community a better place to live are BSing me and each other. They ain't doing nothing, but they don't want to move. They got a house note. They're in over their head. It's upside down. They can't sell it without losing money. And so they want to say, well, the reason I'm not moving is that I'm trying to better my community. But you all were actually doing that. You had a track record in your community of trying to help your community, and then you all decided to move to build another one. So I think the point that you made about how people all of a sudden could be community building minded if they're not already in the process of doing it actually and not just talking about it over the phone to each other or on cyberspace, but are actually out there in the community doing something physically real to help the community that you live in. I just like to say to you all, thank you all so much, and for everybody to get that manual, the sort of step-by-step process of the reality of how you make this change and how you make this move and how you make a difference in your life and in the life of others. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, sir. Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, and thank you for taking the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words and concepts and developing them in such a way that makes it easier for us to implement them, because we saw the same words you saw. We read the same words and saw the same speeches you saw. However, we weren't able to figure out a way as easy to implement them. So that's why we are where we are today. Right, Majida?
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Sister Ann, question or comment?
Well, you know, Dr. Ridgely, it's amazing how we sometimes are on the same line of thinking. But what I wanted to address, some of what he stated, you know, we've been given a charge by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to make our communities decent and safe places to live. And he touched on basically what I was going to say. And the question I want to ask is, how are we doing that? And I'll talk about an incident a couple of weeks ago. Some of my family members were having a little back-to-school event for the children who were still in school, and they wanted everybody to participate, so I did. And there were others, other than family, there. And, you know, I've been in the nation since 1989, and my family know that I have always been one to kind of go out and do things a little bit different you know, worked in the community from age 19, still do that to a certain degree. And sometimes they would come and support ideas and events that I was involved in. I'm sitting there trying to, you know, be a part, but you know how it is. Those of you who sometimes go around who we call lost founds, you know, the conversation is just differently. Women have no respect. They can't get together without alcoholic drinks and cigarettes.
Mm.
So even the young women, you know, they just surprised me in front of, I can remember being a young woman, and we would have family outings with my mothers and aunts and all would be there, and mm-hmm. we'd be cooking out. But you had enough respect as
right.
a young adult not to be drinking and cursing and doing all of those things in front of the adult. Today,
right.
there is no respect. And I look at that, and it's everybody who's there other than myself. So how in the world, I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world are we going to get our people to change when you're looking at these odds? You know, little 8-year-old grandniece, so overweight since the last time I saw her. And I just mentioned to her mother, my niece, said, what are you doing? You got to do something. And what did I want to say that for? I mean,
right.
she read me the riot act. Here I am. I'm older than her mother. And she
wow.
just read me the riot act about she's just
wow.
tired of people talking about her child's weight. She's 8 years old. She got plenty of time to grow out of being fat. I said, excuse me, case closed.
Right.
So when I think about all of that, and she's not the only young black female that I've, and I had this question earlier today. I want to ask young black female, 35, 18 to 35, how can your older black female speak to you about where she may see you are headed for trouble?
Mm.
Do you have the mindset that we should all mind our business and just leave you alone? Because that's the vibration I'm getting. I've had several encounters, and maybe I don't approach the situation in the right manner, although I try to. But our young black women in particular, we've got to, and I guess I reflect on our teaching saying 75% of the work that we
mm-hmm.
are doing in
mm-hmm.
the Nation of Islam is with the female
right.
or the woman.
Right.
So that means that this 75% up in here, what is it out there in the community that we're trying to transform? So I have come to the conclusion that we in the Nation of Islam, first of all, we've got to change our mindset. I hear conversations from people about fun, and Dr. Risley, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've asked him this definition. The minister told him this definition, I guess in a group of them. Somebody asked, I think they asked him about fun, and he gave the definition of fun. It is the meaningless pursuit of mindless pleasure.
Mm.
And
quite.
I hear people in the nation talking about.
Not quite correct.
Okay.
It's the relentless pursuit of meaningless pleasure.
Okay. The relentless pursuit of meaningless pleasure. And I think about
correct.
What I did for fun and pleasure even before I came into the Nation of Islam. I never had a desire to go to a beach with white folk all around. The only time I went to a beach, and I hear us talk about going to the beach, you know,
to the beach
with all these white folk all around. You don't have your own beach.
Mm.
The one that we do still have, that black folk down south on the Sapelo Islands are trying to hold on to, we don't want to go there. We want to go where the white folk are, on the beach. And I'm thinking, Muslim, what are we going to do on the beach? You got to be fully clothed. I don't get it. I don't get it. What I did for pleasure, I love live plays. I lived in Macon. I would keep up with what was happening in Atlanta. And when there was a play that I wanted to see, I'd call one or two of my friends and see if they wanted to go. And that's the kind of enjoyment I like. You know, what do you do for leisure? We have to change our mindset, because too many of us think that if we move into a community of Muslims, we're not going to have no fun. So we've got to change our mindset. I heard, and I'm going to close on this. A few years ago, I love to look at other people who are talking positive things. And I used to like to listen to Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
Person. And he made this statement. He said he was, he didn't say what state he was in, but he was walking along the beach. And he encountered this female. And she was looking so sad. And he asked her, are you all right? And he said she started telling him that all the different places she had lived, and she had not found a place yet that satisfied her.
Mm.
His statement was, well, you take the same person to all of those places.
The common denominator.
Exactly. So when we talk about we're not going to be able to have no fun in our own community with believers like Sister Ann, who seems to be a stick in the mud, and others, you know, we really have to do some self-examination. Dr. Rizzi talked about one aspect of it, the being in debt. And I really am going to close on this. When I came in the Nation, I had some debt, but I was never too far over my head. I've never had, you know, more than maybe $5,000 in debt at one time. But to me, that was a debt. When I read Message to the Black Man and the statement that debt is slavery, I immediately reflected on my position, where you're juggling paying this person or that person because it's something else you want to do. And I said, you know, that is so true. So I made up my mind right then and there, I'm getting rid of this headache. If I got to be on a job that I really, really want to get away from, I'm not going to be there because I have to be. If I miss a couple of paychecks, I'll be out of doors. And we, as believers, have to come to that same conclusion. If we expect to live long lives, you're not going to miss out on anything by putting aside something right now for a better future. So we have to change our mindset. And I put up a post. I posted part of the dinner that I made on Sunday and got several responses. And some people asked, where was that serving? And one of the responses I made, and I truly feel this way, when we have our own community around the farm, nothing would please me more than families getting together to enjoy good meals.
Yes, ma'am.
That'd be fun. I mean, that'd be fun, Sister Ann.
Yeah,
yes.
We're doing that at your house next Sunday.
Yes, ma'am. Praise you, Allah.
And we do that on a almost regular basis, and it's always so enjoyable. But
yes,
just
ma'am.
Families getting together doing that on a regular basis, you bond, you
right.
really know each other better.
Right. Right.
Remove the mystique around knowing your brother and sister. You can really begin to feel like family. And
yes, ma'am.
That's what they are missing. But just think of what it would be like in our own community.
Right.
And that's my take on building community, that I don't think we have developed a strong enough vision for the positive side of what it can be.
Yes, thank you very much, Sister Ann. You're painting the picture of what can be like the hereafter right here in our community. And I recall a different definition, an additional definition for the word fun. It was a little bit on the positive side of fun. I recall it being in Closing the Gap. And Brother Jabril asked the minister what is fun. And it was something like having a vision and working towards it and seeing it come to fruition. And that's paraphrasing. That's what the minister, if I recall, and if someone's out there, they may have that more exact, if you can press that one and comment. But I believe that is, and that's what I'm enjoying. I'm having fun building community. I'm really enjoying being here, being, you know, in a pioneeristic type of way, building community, and actually reaching out to the local community that that's pretty much abandoned. You know, the local community is abandoned by the larger cities, and you know, being able to provide service for them, to reach them and teach them, and at the same time build a community of Muslims.
That's right. And you know, I just wanted to add something to, you know, Sister Ann and Dr. Ridgely both, you know, shared so much to speak to. And I was thinking, and when she said we have to change our mindset, and, you know, when you were saying that, Sister Ann, you know, I was thinking, I don't think we fully understand the impact of living in this contrary environment. And, you know, each individual separately, but I really don't think that we fully understand the impact, what it's doing to our minds, hearts, spirits of living in this contrary environment. I don't think we do, because you have to, when you live in such a contrary environment, in order to feel like you're having any measure of success or that you're going forward and making progress, to some degree you have to buy into a portion of it. Otherwise, how do you stay in it? How do you get up every day and go forward in it? How do you think there's any future for you in it unless to some degree you have bought into, whether mentally, emotionally, spiritually, however, you have bought into a portion of it?
Yes, ma'am. And Sister Majida, I'm going to go ahead. We're down to the last 6 minutes, and we have a caller that has a question or a comment. Caller with the last four digits, 0074, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum. This
Walaikum
is Brother Dante. Brother Dante calling from Indianapolis. Calling from Dallas, Texas. I got my former city on my mind, but from Dallas, Texas. And the question that I had was just, you know, me and my wife are on this call regularly. And the Sunday calls as well, and Thursdays with Sister Ava. So with knowing that we have to separate, if you can help me out, Brother Carlton, maybe with some advice or your wife or Sister Ann. I'm in the trade right now, in the electrical trade, about my third year in, and close to my third year. And so one of my struggles is just, wanting to should I stay here to get the whole you know, try to get my journeyman's here, or just look to trying to relocate as soon as possible, you know, to Georgia, because we definitely don't plan to be here. We're just here to try to, you know, get this my journeyman's card, and then so I can be of use in the state of Georgia. in around the farm area. So just struggle with that every now and then because I'm like, should I just go ahead and I got a certain amount of skills already developed. I can continue to learn in other different forms, or you know. So what advice would you give me?
That's a very good question, brother, because it depends on what level of skill experience that you currently have and where you want to be able to provide, to be of benefit, the best benefit for your nation. Number one, I know training is important. Let's say, for example, if you're a person that just going into college or you're starting school and you want to be a scientist, a doctor, engineer, we wouldn't ask you to, hey, stop, jump out of college and come over here and separate unless you can go to a school that's close to here. It's best that you finish school, get some experience, and try to separate that way. Or if you're able to get closer to where we are and continue that line of training, do that. It depends on where you want to be and where do you see yourself in your nation and what do you want to provide. The other thing is, at what level will you be able to do for yourself? A lot of times we are in the skilled trades, and we're depending on jobs, and we have to chase that job. That doesn't prevent you from separating. You can move to our separate community and work outside the community, but it limits your effectiveness. You're bringing your financial resources to that community, also bringing your family to that community, but you're not in the community. I would say that's a step towards being in the community. So that's another way. So I would recommend, decide at what level do you want to be of service to your nation? How long would it take to get that? Can you start the process of separating now? Do you have to be at a certain level and being able to do for self? The electrical trade is something that's always in demand. And, like one brother, Brother Tony, Brother Tony, he decided that for him to do for self, he's going to get his contractor's license. And so once he gets his contractor's license, he doesn't have to chase the jobs. And that's what he's working on now. Now pulls him away out of the area, but it is worth the sacrifice because he'll be free after that. Does that help, Brother Dante?
Assalamu alaikum.
Absolutely, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Go ahead, Dr. Mishley. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but Brother Tony already had his journeymanship. Then he's getting his contractorship. I believe that whenever you start a value, you should finish. We need people who have skills. Now, that piece of paper is important because even when you're trying to do business with other black people, they respect the piece of paper of the white man. So if you got actually the journeyman that you are skilled, then it's easier for you to be of even service to your own people. So I would say finish where you are and then see what's transferable to Georgia, but don't leave and drop what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. This has been a question I've been wanting to ask for a few months because I'm always listening and I'm trying to weigh it with the time we're living in and the increase of things taking place in America. And I just got to keep moving forward and definitely get that J card, they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. May Allah bless you with success.
And if I may add, brother, because you know how much more time you need to finish your apprenticeship for your journeyman, within that time, do you and your wife and whoever else is in your family capable, do all that you can within that time. Allah is allowing you that time. Do all that you can within that time to continue to prepare. Do all that you can. So if there's some skill or something that your wife is interested in, I would just use that time while you're working to get your journeyman's credential. Just use that time for the both of you to do all that you can so that when you do make that move, you're more prepared.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Brother Dante, thank you for that question. We're down to the last 10 seconds. And so I want to thank everybody for calling in and contributing. I want to thank my wife especially for supporting me and supporting our family in this move, and Dr. Ridgie and Sister Ann, and most importantly, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. May Allah bless you all. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your
Make me
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fifth.
Down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth.